Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, December 2nd. Coming up, we'll learn why the Supreme Court decision that ruled racial segregation in public schools is unconstitutional is relevant for young people today. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Champaign City Council will vote tomorrow on a resolution promoting their deputy city manager to the top job. IPM's Jim Meadows reports.
Joan Walls is a 24-year veteran of Champaign City government. Outgoing city manager Dorothy David is retiring next month, and Mayor Deb Finan says city council members have voiced their support for Walls.
You know, I'm comfortable saying I speak on behalf of the entire city council that they were excited and enthusiastic about the opportunity to have Joan Walls move up and become our city manager.
Under Champaign's council manager system of government, the city manager is hired by the city council to run operations and execute council policy. Finan says Walls will bring enthusiasm and a deep knowledge of the city to the job. I'm Jim Meadows, IPM News.
It's hard to say goodbye, especially if you may never get to speak to that person again. That's the case for the students and teachers who were at Stateville Correctional Center near Chicago. The prison closed this fall, and because of Illinois Department of Corrections policy, some of those pursuing higher ed degrees were transferred away from their teachers with no contact allowed. IPM's Emily Hayes has more.
Each time DePaul University professor Christina Rivers entered the classroom to teach, more of her students were gone.
And because I can't interact with them when I'm not there, I can't reach out and say, hey, who's leaving? You know, let me say goodbye, or I can't email them goodbye.
Rivers couldn't bring herself to say goodbye in person either. In her second to last class, her icebreaker question was about what the class meant to everyone.
Kleenex was needed.
Since 2016, Rivers has taught at Stateville Correctional Center, which had some of the worst conditions of any Illinois prison. This spring, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced the facility would be torn down and rebuilt. Transfers of the men incarcerated there started in August.
Even if they were on the list for that day, if they were transferred out at 8 o'clock, we get there at 10:30, they're gone.
The Illinois Department of Corrections says most of the 109 students enrolled in Stateville's higher education programs were transferred to a facility that supported what they were doing. But Rivers noticed about a dozen of DePaul students were not transferred to its future site, Hill Correctional Center in Galesburg.
Some were real stalwarts, constant participants, real consistent participants, did substantive work, and it's still kind of sinking in. I'll never get to see them again. I'll probably never get to work with them again unless they get out.
Starting in 2012, DePaul University led an inside-out prison exchange program in Stateville. The goal was to bring incarcerated and free students together to learn as equals. But they don't have equal relationships with their professors. Illinois Department of Corrections policy does not allow volunteers to, quote, socialize or fraternize with any individual in custody. They can't communicate by phone, electronic mail, or letter, or disclose their phone number or email. In an email, IDOC said the policy is designed to ensure the safety of volunteers, individuals in custody, facility staff, and the public.
To me, like, logically, it should be abolished.
That's Joseph Dole.
It's all based off of myth, you know? They're just, like, assuming you're in prison, so you're always trying to, you know, do something criminal with every conversation.
He was transferred from Stateville to Pinckneyville Correctional Center in Southern Illinois. He says the policy makes it hard to maintain the positive communities created in the classroom.
So it's like they're constantly trying to dehumanize us and keep us away from, you know, like people we've spent decades with. There's people we've been in classrooms with for 5, 10 years.
Joel says the no-contact policy should be abolished because mentorship and community helps people to successfully re-enter society when they are released.
If I get out tomorrow, who do you think's going to help me get on my feet and be a part of the community and help solve social issues?
In 2000, Dole was convicted of murder based on an Illinois law that holds people accountable for the actions of others. He has maintained he is innocent. While serving his life sentence, Dole has completed a bachelor's degree, co-founded a nonprofit, published 3 books, and authored bills for the Illinois legislature.
A lot of us are making up for shit lies we're leading out there. You know, we're on the streets and, you know, doing whatever stupid things as kids. And now we're more community minded. We're more, you know, focused on the health of of the community, society.
He says that's been hard to do after his transfer.
As soon as we transfer, we can't be involved in those causes because we can't maintain contact with the people that were giving us access to do that.
And the no-contact policy affects professors, too. At Stateville, Dole was in DePaul's public policy think tank with Christina Rivers. Other professors we spoke with said they were worried about even mentioning any student names on the record for fear they wouldn't be allowed back into prisons to teach.
They're so scared of the IDOC just banning them for no reason. You know, it's like they always have that power over them.
The Illinois Department of Corrections also declined to comment whether there's any appetite to change their no-contact rule. It's possible that Joseph Dole will be able to reunite with Christina Rivers and the other professors and volunteers he's worked with if he can be transferred to Hill Correctional Center. If that happens, he plans to become a teaching assistant again.
When I was TAing classes in Stateville, I'm making $1,500 a class. You know, I'm using that money to hire a lawyer now, and I use that money to buy Christmas gifts for my daughters and my grandson.
Rivers says that while it's hard to realize she may never work with longtime students again, she's looking ahead.
We'll be taking in all kinds of new people, and I'm totally looking forward to that.
Dole is allowed to petition for his transfer to Hill on December 10th. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn why the Supreme Court decision that ruled racial segregation in public schools is unconstitutional is relevant for young people today. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, partly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a high of 26 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 14 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 30 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 20 degrees, southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy and windy with a high of 45 degrees and west wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, Disturbing the Bones is a new novel that crosses a modern-day whodunit with a global political thriller, with settings ranging from Chicago to Cairo in southern Illinois. It's the work of Jeff Biggers, a journalist, and Andrew Davis, a filmmaker best known for The Fugitive. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk with them both next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. This year, the University of Illinois is marking 70 years since the Supreme Court decision that ruled racial segregation in public schools is unconstitutional. Community members are invited to discuss the ruling as well as the music of the civil rights movement. That's on Wednesday, December 4th at 6 p.m. at the Gallery Art Bar. IPM's Reginald Hardwick spoke to Ron Wyatt, Assistant Chancellor of Pre-K through 12 initiatives at the U of I. Rod explained why the decision and music are relevant for young people today.
There are a number of children that don't have a good context for what that Brown v. Board decision was, and therefore they're missing the key work that was done, the heavy lifting by their predecessors that really pushed us forward educationally, but at the same time realizing we have not reached and fully vetted what that could mean educationally for all of our children.
Why is the university taking a full year to look at the Brown v. Board decision?
Well, we're 70 years past that landmark decision. And there's still major elements that have not been addressed, equity being one of them throughout education, particularly for black and brown children.
Why is it important to discuss the musicology of the era?
Well, that goes directly back to the heart of me. That music was what motivated and captivated me as a child growing up, because I grew up through the civil rights movement and listening to the different artists ask questions and question society as to what was going on and why we couldn't achieve the education that we really needed to receive.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Teddy Pendergrass and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, when they asked, when they were singing, they were talking about, you know, wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Listen to the words. The words, the music was great, but the words carried significant meaning. And I think to bring some of that to light and help our children understand, and even the communities to reengage with that time period and understand what the artists were saying, is critically important as we continue to try and move Brown v. Board forward. Sam Cooke, Change is Gonna Come. Just listening to him talk about what it was like.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
To try and go into a movie theater, to try and go into town, you begin to understand what these musicians were saying to the public. They were like, it's time for a change. And we have to be the change that we're looking for.
What will happen at the Gallery Art Bar on December 4th?
If I'm not mistaken, we're going to have spoken word. We're going to have artists performing different songs of the era and then have conversations about what those songs meant, what the artists were trying to say, and how that now comes into play today. Because if we were to look, research is telling us right now that we're going back to a more segregated school system than we've ever had. And so how do we change that? How do we change that narrative? How do we change that movement? Because it is critically important for the well-being of not just the black and brown community, but for the United States of America.
Just years after the Brown v. Board of Education decision, Thurgood Marshall, the man who argued before the Supreme Court, talked at the University of Illinois, as recorded by WILL Radio.
Anybody has a right to say, I do not want to go to school with a Negro. Anybody has a right to say, I will not go to college with a Negro. But nobody has a right to say that that Negro can't go to my college. If you don't want to go to college with Negroes, get out. You go from college to college, you end up, there are no colleges where there aren't Negroes. You still have your constitutional right to stay away from college and die a dummy. You still keep your right. And I'll protect your right.
I asked Rod Wyatt what he would say to Marshall if he were alive today.
The first thing I would say is thank you. Because Brown v. Board didn't just happen. There were a series of litigations and cases that he fought in court that led us to Brown v. Board. Just the intellectual depth of his understanding of where this country was and where it needed to go was tremendous. And to be able to stand before the Supreme Court and then ultimately become a Supreme Court justice. Wow.
Gonna let nobody turn me around. Keep on walking, keep on talking. Gonna build a brand new world. Ain't gonna let the rain now turn me around.
After this musicology event in December, what is planned in January and the months after?
We're going to have an event on January the 29th, with a professor coming in from Kansas that's going to do a walking presentation. So you get to walk through the entire presentation highlighting the 12 women that were involved in the Brown v. Board decision. And those are women that people never talk about. They always talk about the decision, but they don't talk about the litigants that were involved in that decision. We have a collaboration in February with Parkland College, which is going to be open to the public to have a dialogue and sit down and really talk deeply about the impact or the lack thereof of the Brown v. Board decision and how that has either changed lives or now we're continuing to fight to move forward with the equity side of the Brown v. Board.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
We've been talking with Rod Wyatt, Assistant Chancellor of Pre-K through 12 Initiatives at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, you're invited to attend the Brown v. Board of Education 70th Anniversary Musicology Experience, featuring a live band performance, spoken word, digital art, and refreshments. It takes place Wednesday, December 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gallery Art Bar in Urbana.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Julie Walker, Emily Hayes, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.